First, allow me to wish all of you a very happy and blessed Christmas. This Advent, as we prepared for the Christmas holy day, to get in the mood, I decided to watch some old Christmas movies. And one of the movies that I just, actually it was a TV series that I watched, was A Charlie Brown Christmas. I really liked that kid and some of his friends. But anyway, as I was watching it, I still remember one of the scenes that caught my eye was that Charlie is told that they're going to have a Christmas pageant. And so his friends tell him that his mission is to go out and get a beautiful, beautiful synthetic Christmas tree with all the lights on it. Well, he goes with Linus, the kid with the comforter or whatever it is. I was getting a Spanish word in my head and I couldn't get it in English. My first language is Spanish, but I was getting the word frazada, but that's not English. Anyway, they go and they see all these beautiful fake Christmas trees. But Charlie Brown decides that he wants just a real Christmas tree. And the only one that's there is this tiny little tree about this big that barely has 4 or 5 branches. And so he decides that he can do that. He can make that Christmas tree look great. And so he comes back, and when he shows the tree to his friends begin ridiculing him up and down. You were horrible. How could you do this to us? And then he starts screaming, "Can somebody please tell me what Christmas is all about?" Since he has failed in his mission. And sure enough, at that moment, Linus says, "I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And Linus takes the stage before the show begins, and he says, "Down the lights," and all of a sudden you have Linus telling you this gospel. He starts reciting about a woman giving birth to a child and wrapping him in swaddling clothes and the shepherds coming and the angels and all of it. And the scene ends. But a couple of minutes later, you see Snoopy. Snoopy is the dog, for those of you who may not be familiar with Peanuts. And Snoopy is laying down on top of his doghouse. And he's very confused. And, of course, Snoopy doesn't talk, but you can hear him thinking. And he says, "I have to be really careful. All this theology could end up ruining my Christmas." Now, when I read that, I went, I wonder why the author, which is Charles Schulz, who wrote that comic, why did he put those words in Snoopy's mind? "I've got to be careful, because all of this theology could end up ruining my Christmas." And it struck me that, because it's a very, you would expect that he would say, it's making my Christmas richer. But he's actually not wanting to go beyond just the superficial, "I enjoy all the bells and whistles of Christmas. Don't confuse me with something bigger than that." And actually, Snoopy expresses quite a bit of the way a lot of us, a lot of our brothers and sisters, a lot of our neighbors, approach Christmas. It's a beautiful time. It is a beautiful time. However, Snoopy's understanding and his desire not to be moved really put him in a very superficial place. And so what I'd like to do is just to examine what is it, you know, because Charlie Brown had to go through the Christmas tree, and can anybody tell me the meaning of Christmas? But I think it's important to look at all of the decorations. I mean, think about this. I mean, look around here. The church doesn't look like this on a regular basis. At home, you brought in a tree. It may be plastic or it may be real, but have you ever thought about how weird it is to bring a tree into your house? I mean, if somebody didn't know what we were happening, we're used to it. But it's weird to bring a tree into your house. And then you put lights on it. And then you put garland all over it. And then you hang balls all over it. And there's lights everywhere. And let's face it, it's beautiful. It really is. I enjoy the Christmas season because I enjoy, like, I went to my cousin's tonight to have dinner, and I was driving back in all these beautiful homes, and the night has this crispness, this sense of expectation, this beauty, and it only comes at Christmas. And so the question that I think I would like to ask ourselves is, so what does this mean? Because obviously it means something. Because if it doesn't, like Snoopy doesn't want it to, it's quite ridiculous. And so what we have to do is enjoy the lights and everything, but we have to ask the deeper question, what's going on? Let me give you an example. Because I think it's important to respond with something greater than just the facts. Okay? Let me give you this example. I want you to imagine that a little kid, say 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, comes up to me, and he's gone into the garden. She's gone into the garden, and she found a weed. And the weed happens to be a dandelion. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with dandelions, but dandelions produce a little yellow flower. It's really quite pretty in and of itself, but it's a weed. Right? So this little girl, 4 years old, grabs that little weed and comes up to me. Now, this didn't really happen, just telling you. She comes up to me, and she looks up at me, because I'm much taller than her, and she says, "Father Mario, this is for you." And she looks at me with those big eyes. Now I look at her, and I'm seeing this little flower that I know to be a weed. And so I say to her, "Listen, kid, if you're going to give me a flower, get me something decent. Look, that's a weed. If you're going to give me something, I would like a lot better than that. Don't give me a weed." Now, let me ask you this. Did I tell her the truth? I did, didn't I? I did tell her the truth. Should I? So it's okay for me to do that, right? For me to tell her, "Hey, kid, this is a weed. Get me something better." I sense a little reluctance on your part. A little reluctance. Obviously, if you really saw me do that, you would be shocked. You'd be angry. Because you know I'm not supposed to do that. And yet, am I supposed to lie? Am I supposed to say to her, "Oh, sweetie, what beautiful flower. Thank you so much. It's a weed." Do you want me to lie to her? And a lot of people, I can see a lot of people, you don't want to answer, but you're going, lie. Maybe we do that all the time. You know, when a little kid, for example, a little girl maybe dresses up in her mom's, you know, makeup and has makeup all over the place and dress and shoes that don't fit her. And she comes out and says, don't I look beautiful, mommy? And what do you say? No, sweetie, you look like a stupid clown. Do you say that? No, you don't. You say, oh, sweetie, you look so pretty. You're lying. You're lying. Or are you lying? Are you lying? You see, here's the problem. When you only recognize the superficial facts, F-A-C-T-S, when you only recognize the superficial facts, you miss the deeper truth. Why? Because truth has depth. Truth has depth. Truth is never limited to the facts. That's the problem. With this little girl, what did I miss? I told her factually that that was a weed. And if your boyfriend or your girlfriend came up to you and gave you a weed, you would not be so happy. But yet, what did I miss? I missed what was not visible. And what was not visible was the love and admiration of the child. The little flower, inadequate as it was in reality, was carrying a much more profound but invisible gift. And if you only saw that which is visible, you missed it. You missed, and not only did you miss it, you missed the most important part of the communication. I'm trying to help you to see, just by using that little example, and I'll spread that little example all around, because what we do as human beings, we are constantly using signs and symbols to understand the deeper meaning of the reality. Because truth has depth. We as human beings are, I often like to say, we are lean, mean, meaning machines. Think about this. The only thing you hate to do is when somebody gives you something to do that is 100% meaningless. When you have to do something totally meaningless, it sucks the life out of you. Because you and I are built intrinsically to seek meaning and purpose and love and reason and truth and beauty. All of those things that are not necessarily tangible, but they are communicated to us through the visible. Now, spread that to this Christmas decorations. Is it just about the lights? Is it just about the tree in the middle of your living room? And the answer is, if that's all there is, then you missed it. You missed it. Because all of these lights, all of these decorations are telling you that there's something greater that it is pointing to that you have always been longing for. See, every human being longs for what many people call a sense of perfect home. Now think about that. Have you ever felt sometimes just a fleeting moment that you were totally at home, that you were loved? And what it means to be home is somewhere where you're loved perfectly, somewhere where people appreciate you. Because home is not a house. Home is a place that you are loved, a place where your desire for truth and for beauty and for justice, all of those things are there. And all of a sudden you feel like, oh, home, home. Now, I don't know about you, but that feeling is not a regular part of existence. That feeling is a longing. Everywhere you and I go, we long for perfect love, perfect truth, perfect beauty, and perfect justice. Teenagers or a kid, for example, when you're not just to them, what's the immediate thing even a little baby will say? It's not fair. Why? Because it's intrinsic to the human being. Intrinsic inside of you. You were born with this longing inside of you for perfect truth, perfect love, perfect justice, and perfect beauty. Perfect home. What all these decorations are pointing to, they're not an end in themselves. These decorations and the way it makes you feel is a whiff, a little smell of the promise that all of those things that you long for are not illusions, that they're real, and that our longing for all of them is something that God made us. And so during Christmas, when you sense that, you know, when you say, I want to, when you ask, for example, when you ask somebody, how was your Christmas? Even if your Christmas was lousy, because some Christmases are going to be lousy. I know some of you in here are going to have a rotten Christmas. Okay. Some of you will have a great Christmas and some of you will, whatever. But ultimately, why do you know what a great Christmas is? And you know why? Because it's the fulfillment of every longing that you have. And all those lights and all those trees and all that, the carols and all of that, they give you a little scent of, and you remember something that you forgot a long time ago, that you still yearn for all of those things. What happened 2,000 years ago in the birth of this child was God's way of saying what you're feeling and the longing that you have is not imaginary. You are built for perfect truth, perfect love, perfect beauty, and perfect justice. That's the way I made you. Do you remember in the Bible when Jesus is asked, why did you come? And he says it right in the Bible. Why did you come? And remember what he says? I mean, this is one of the most important moments in the New Testament. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Now, what does that statement imply? I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. You know what it implies? That you don't have it to the full. That you have, that you long for it. And we walk around buying stuff and looking forward to this love relationship or looking forward to that or that, always grasping at perfect love, perfect truth, perfect justice, and perfect beauty, perfect home. That's what we're celebrating tonight. All of these lights are to remind you of what you've forgotten. You've forgotten that you were made for all of these things. And that feeling of Christmassy is a reminder that all those longings that you have are real. And when you think of them in terms of this little baby, which is actually God reaching his hands into human history and saying, I refuse to let you be and live and die an unfilled life. Because without him, people die whimpering, not scared about why they were dying. People die wondering, what was this life all about? Yeah, I had some good meals. Yeah, I had some laughs. But why did I live when I'm dying and I'm not full? What was it all about? That's what we're celebrating tonight. That life has hope, and that little child is the reason why we can look at each other and say, Merry Christmas. Not because we're all happy, but because we know that we're heading towards a home that's perfect. Perfect beauty, perfect love, perfect truth, and perfect justice. That is the promise of Christmas. And if you get it like, if you are like Snoopy, you'll have a little fun. But at the very end, you'll go, not enough. Had too much to eat. Mom and Dad were a pain. The kids were, it's fine, but I'm glad it's over. But if you remember the child, then all of the rest of it, the lights, the trees, all of that begins to make sense. I hope you have a beautiful and blessed Christmas.